Well, I am again glad to be here. I thank God for his many blessings. I thank him for how he is. I thank him for you, my sister, for giving us that word this morning. This was a wonderful word, and that was a word I believe we all needed to hear, that we are simple human beings, and we all struggling. Something is on. We'll just go ahead in the name of the Lord. I lost my light. Well, we just came off of a study in the book of James. It was an interesting study. It was an interesting journey. But we're not through journeying yet. We're going to head over into the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a challenging set of information. There's 13 chapters there. Paul is writing to the Hebrews. And what Paul is basically wanting to do is to prove the preeminence of Christ above everything else. And I think he does a real good job of it, of course. And the first chapter of Hebrews is going to address an issue I think that needs to be addressed, and something sometimes I believe is a little vague. And a portion of that has to do with angels in the angelic realm. And he speaks to us about that. He talks to us about how God speaks now and how he has spoken to us today. Let me go ahead and pray, and we'll go ahead and get into this word. Father, we're so grateful today for your wonderful grace. We thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness that's so much better than words. We're so wonderfully blessed by you, and what a great thing you've done to become a man so that we could become yours. So, Lord, as we look into this word today, I pray that you will help me to get out of your way. I don't need to be seen or heard. You see plenty of men all the time. We need to hear from you today, Lord. But to that end, I also ask that you would help others that are here to not get in the way of what it is that you're teaching us, so that we all can hear, to receive, and benefit from what thus saith the Lord into our hearts this day. And it's in your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. It is interesting, number one, to me, that in every book that the Apostle Paul authored, he always started it out with his name, Paul, to the people in Timothy, Paul to the Ephesians, Paul to wherever Paul wrote a book. And you can go through 13 out of 14 of the books that Paul authored started out with the name Paul. But this book, the book of Hebrews, starts out God. It's different. It starts out different from anything that he did. And I believe that his point is that we should have our minds on God, which I'm sure is on all of the other books. But this one, he started out telling us about God. Those sundry times and diverse manners of communications here refers to the fact that there were former revelations that were given by God in various different parts. It had been given, not had all been given at once, talking about sundry times and diverse manners. It was communicated from time to time. It was communicated when God spoke by history. It was communicated by prophecy. It was communicated by poetry. It was communicated by proverbs and other special messages that he would communicate with folks by in the past. But this time, he ministered and spoke to us by one voice, and that's the voice of his Son, Jesus Christ. It goes on in verse 3 in Hebrews. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This brightness that this scripture speaks of, it's a sending forth kind of a brightness. It's a brightness that comes from him and out of him, and it sends forth. It's a light that shines of the brightness of his glory. It's not a reflection. Jesus is God. He radiates his own glory. Now, the Bible says that we haven't seen Jesus, but I believe when we see him, it's going to all be about light. I believe that there is a light that emanates from him like no other light. I have a good example that we had here last Wednesday. We were looking at this light compared to that light over there. Could you turn that light on right there? Now, take a look. Now, we've got one light, and then we got another one. Can you see the difference in those lights? Both of them are light, but there's one light that is so much greater than the other light. And I would say that the light of God is so much greater than the top light there. But it's a light that doesn't offend the eyes. Of course, you've got to be changed to be like him in order to have this experience. Right now, you and I cannot handle the presence of God in his fullness in our presence. We would probably crumble and die. We just could not take it. We're still in our sinful condition. Sin cannot stand in the presence of God. But when Jesus changes us, we will be able to stand in his presence. And that light that they talk about, and we hear about light, and the life was the light of man, and you just go through, and it's all about light. Listen, in order for there to have even be life on this earth, there must be light. There must be sunlight. Without the light of the sun, this world would grow cold and freeze over. The warmth and light of the sun, even in our natural existence, is important. And so light is something. So it's talking about the brightness of his glory, the express image of the person, and upholding all things by his word, by the word of his power. All things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, he purged our sins. And he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And again, the express image gives the idea of an impression or a mark, like a mark that you might make, like they make on a coin, or a brand that they might put on an animal, or an impression made out of clay. And that's what this talks about. It's a specific kind of an impression, a stamp, or an image that this is talking about. And it means that the sun is the perfect imprint, the exact representation of the nature and essence of God in time and space. The exact image and essence of God in time and space. That's what he did. He that seen me, he said, in John 14:9, has seen the Father. And, you know, we've got this separation type way that we think of things. Say, well, that's him, and that's her, and that's him, and that's her. And you say, well, that's Leroy, and that's Joyce. Well, we are one. And I could say, well, if you talk to me about it, you might as well be talking to her about it, because we agree together about the same thing. You're not going to get any more or any less than what I just said. We've said that often to our children. They'd ask me for one thing and go ask Mom, and she'd say, well, did you ask your daddy? Well, you got a messed up right there. What did your daddy say? Because we're one. We don't disagree. Raising children, we did not disagree. We did not disagree on the key points of life and the key points of marriage. And so it's the same thing. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the express image of God the Father right here in time and space. So even though we have not seen him after the flesh, this makes it even more miraculous You believe in Jesus? Have you seen him? And can I talk you out of it? Is there anything I could do to convince you that he's not real? Y'all don't get militant on me now. I'm just saying. The faith that we have in Christ is more real than many of the things we deal with in the world today. And one of the worst things you can do to a true Christian is try to talk him out of this faith that we have in Christ. You can't do it. It can't be. I'm sorry. You know, once we're in, we're lifers. It's there for good regardless. They can say, well, she sure don't look much like a Christian. Well, he might not, but he is. Okay, we have our times, my sister say. We have our moments. There ain't no sense in pretending that we don't, because we do. All of us, she's not unique in hers. All of us have our times. So I only got one amen right from over here. But it's a room full of amens, whether you say amen or not, because we all have our times and our moments. Some of us hide it better than others. I'll go on and say amen. Being made so much better than the angels, Jesus, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is so amazing to me. He is God. He was and is God. Even though he became a man, he was made so much better than the angels. Now, angels are created beings. They're created by God to minister to him and to do his bidding. That's what angels are. They're created by God, and they're created to minister to him and to do his bidding. That's the beginning part of angels. Now, the Jews held angels in a very high regard. Some of them thought that the angels were right next to God. Now, there's a group called the Qumran. They're a sect of Judaism, and they established and taught that the Archangel Michael's authority rivaled or surpassed the authority of the Messiah. Well, that's error, but they taught that, and they truly believed that. They had the angels way up high. Now, I can't beat an angel or out-wrestle an angel. I can't. But they still are not God. They're not. They can wow us and everything, but they're not God. The writer of Hebrews clearly dispels the notion that angels are right up there with God. Verse 5 says, "For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." The answer is none. He didn't say that to any angel. "This day I have begotten thee," he didn't say that to anything. "You are my son," he didn't say that to any angel. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." Let them worship him. And so anyone that thinks that angels are higher than the Messiah, they're way off, and they're missing the mark. And by the way, anyone that has the wrong impression of Jesus can't be saved. I mean, if he's not the Son of God, if he did not walk this earth, live, minister, die, was buried, was resurrected, and was raised to sit at the right hand of the Father, if he's anything other than that, that person's Jesus is not the Jesus that we worship. Now, I've met some people that they want to put Jesus over here and put Jesus over there, and that's their prerogative. But there's only one way to the Father, Jesus said, and that's by me. And so he's the standard that gets us to the Father. Without Jesus, you can't stand in the presence of God. You can't do it. He's the mediator. And folks that want to or think they can, they're in for a rude awakening. A rude awakening. If they continue on this route and continue to insist on that fake or false representation of Jesus, one day they're going to find that it doesn't work. But, and they are going to face God one day, but that Jesus that they have will not help them, because it'll be before the wrong judgment seat. The wrong one. I met a man, and the more I think about it, the sadder I get. Because he told me that Jesus was created and that he's not the Son. And he told me some things. He caught me by surprise, and I just wasn't looking for it. And the more I think about it, I said, man, he's got the wrong idea. This man is in so much trouble until it's not. He is in so. And the more I thought about it, you know, I got a little upset with him when he said that. But then I came home and thought about it. And I said, wow, he's got the wrong Jesus. He's got the wrong Jesus. And he was so adamant, and I could only get a few words out, and man, he would blast me with his doctrine. And I'd wait and listen, and I'd try to give him a scripture, and he'd blast me with his doctrine. And I say, well, God bless you. I got his name, and I shook his hand, and I left. And a little flustered, but he's got the wrong Jesus. That Jesus he's got, the created Jesus that he's following, is not going to help him. And he's not saved. And that's sad. Ugh. I got off on that one, but it's real upset. Maybe the Lord is going to send me back. I was not a happy camper when I left. Not looking forward to it, but if he says go, you know I will.
Amen.
But, you know, sometimes I go, well, he can have what he got and, you know, get on down the road. But that's not how we should be.
Amen.
Amen. And it's very likely here that the apostle, when he's talking about angels, was referring to a Jewish tradition that they were following back during the day. Now, I'm going to just share something with you. I'm going to go a little bit off script here. There is a writing called the Shemath Rabbah. And this, we won't use it in discussion. It's Shemath Rabbah. It's a Hebrew terminology. It says that God is named the Lord of hosts because with his angels, he does whatever he wills. Now, check this out. And I like this. When he pleases, he makes them sit down. Judges 6:11. He makes them sit down. It says, and the angels of the Lord came and sat under a tree. Sat under a tree. When it pleases, he causes them to stand. Isaiah 6:2. The Bible says that the seraphim stood. Seraphims are angels, one of the higher levels, classes of angels. Sometimes he make them, how about this, like women. It does. Zechariah 5:9. Behold, there came two women, and the wind was in their wings. So all of y'all that think that angels are only male in form, guess what? Guess what? Zechariah 5:9 has just identified angels in female forms. All of y'all that think angels don't have wings, guess what? Zechariah has just identified two angels with wings. So, I was one that go, wings. But yeah, Zechariah identifies that, and you can read it in Zechariah 5:9. Sometimes he make them like men. Genesis 18:2. And lo, three men stood by him, talking about Abraham. These men were angels. They were headed to visit Sodom and Gomorrah. They looked like men, but they were angels. Sometimes he makes them spirits. He makes them spirits and ministers of fire. And he makes them a flame of fire. Now, you could look up that word fire and say, well, I wonder what that means. The definition is going to say fire. We could go and kind of mix it up and fix it up if we try, but it's fire. I'm just going to stick with fire because it can get complicated and all of that, and it could mean something metaphorically, something else. I'm going to stick with fire. He makes his angels ministers of fire, and he used them, and he uses them. But unto the Son, verse 8 in Hebrews 1, unto the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. His throne, or his rule, his rulership, or his dominion. That means that the dominion of Christ is perpetual. It will never end. It will never be overtaken. No matter how big the protest, it's forever and ever. No one will ever unseat him from his throne. No man, woman, boy, girl, demon, angel can unseat him from his throne. It's forever and ever, and it's a righteous throne. It's a righteous throne. His scepter, this is like a staff that kings hold. Sometimes they're made of wood, they're overlaid with jewels. Sometimes they're made of ivory in the earth realm. And sometimes they were made of gold, solid gold. It was born in the hands of he who ruled. It was the emblem of authority and power. Thy scepter, the emblem of authority and power. Verse 9 in Hebrew says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. There's no man that's more joyful than Jesus. There's no man got a greater degree of happiness than Jesus. And then he said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And so he's going to share that life with us. And he says, if you ask anything of me, and I'll give it to you, that your joy might be full. So he wants us to have fullness of joy. And but he is the top and the height of joy and happiness in himself. God has blessed him and anointed him to have greater joy than any other person, any other man, any angel, anyone else. Jesus Christ is the height of joy. Thou hast loved righteousness. The Bible says he loved righteousness. In other words, he was obedient to the law of God, and he was holy and he was upright. That's righteousness, being obedient to the law of God, to live holy and upright. That's what that means. You say, well, wow, I didn't live too holy or upright last night. Hey, repent. Confess it. Who does it all the time? Now, we got to understand this. If Christ Jesus is your Lord, then he is your Lord. Now, we have our little issues that we go through, but it doesn't change who you are. Any more than anything that I do can change being the father of my children. They can't stop being my children. They could be mass murderers, but they'd still be my children. I could say you're no longer my child, but they're still my child. You see? And you know, once you're born, you don't get unborn. Nicodemus had that confused. Can I go back to my mother's room? No, Nicodemus, pay attention here. You got to be born again. Okay? It's born again. It's born from above. And when you're born from above, that's it. That's the deal breaker. You say, well, I like that. I still like this and I still like that. I understand that. But then just stick with him. Don't say, well, oh, God, I messed up. I might as well go on back and just continue to do just like I've always done. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. You're in a warfare. It's a vicious warfare. And your enemy is nasty. Your enemy lies. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He hates you as well as he hates God. And if he can get you to be dumb enough, that's the rig, to listen to him. I thought about it, yes, because I've been dumb enough. But if he can get you to be dumb enough to listen to him and take off down that road behind him, he's just laughing all the way to the bank in hell. Now, you're not going to hell, but you're going to show miss a lot of reward. Listen now. Are y'all hearing me? And now, y'all, I said, are you hearing me?
Amen.
I think this is an important point now, because a lot of us have become shipwrecked because of our own interpretation of what's going on. Amen. Oh, the devil tricked me again. Well, what did you do? Sometimes you trick yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you trick yourself. You are your biggest enemy. Because if you know Christ, you know the truth. And you push right past the truth anyway, you're tricking yourself. So you don't always get to blame the devil for this. Now, he is to be blamed because he started this mess. Now, we don't want to make him blameless, okay? But now, once you're in Christ, it's between the spirit and the flesh, like Angela said earlier. It's between the spirit and the flesh. You are in a knockdown, drag-out warfare for the rest of your life. And as long as you live in this body, there's going to be something that you got to fight against. Amen.
Amen.
Say it again. Amen.
Amen.
Now don't think that you don't think, okay, praise God, I'm going to heaven and it's through. He's going to beat you all the way there. If you're not careful, he will beat you all the night. Now I ain't talking about God. God chastises, but the devil will whip you back to the head just because of ignorance. Because you don't know who you are, or you don't embrace who you are. You embrace it. You're responsible. You tell them, you know what? That's a great word that we need to learn to use a whole lot in that regard. That word is no. And it's in different forms. There's some contractions. Nada. No. I ain't going to do it. Not today. Not never. Forget it. Leave me alone. Go somewhere. Get down the road. All of it means no. Y'all don't ever talk like that?
I do.
I go, no. It's not up for discussion. You see? Amen. Now, you're in a warfare. You are in a, it's a knockdown, drag out. Some reason God has me here, won't let me go. But we need to understand we are in a warfare. It is a vicious warfare. I could be sitting up in my room and just go into depression. Why? I got baseball going, my computer's going, everything is great. You know, I got my scriptures here, and I just sink down into a depression. What's that? Me. I start forgetting who I am in him. Well, confession is good for the soul. Amen. His throne is forever. Verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has given you and anointed thee with oil of gladness above your fellows. Oil of gladness. The character of the Lord is expressed as holy. It's expressed as harmless, undefiled. It says that he did no sin. It says, in whose mouth is no guile found. That means no trickery. He does not lie. There is no lie in his mouth. And verse 10 says, and the Lord in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of his hands. The Lord laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. The heavens are the works of his hands. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Not anything made that was made. He even made the body that he came and got into. He made it. Because without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 11 says, they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. And thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. All of his creation, it says, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. He's going to fold them up. The book of Peter, 2 Peter 3:10 and 12 says this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are in therein, that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That means lifestyle, how you live, and godliness. Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's fever heat. That's a fever that burns from the inside out. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. It'll burn from the inside to the outside. It says, what kind of person ought you to be, knowing that this is coming this way? Hebrews 1 continues in verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This comes full circle, and it points back to verse 3 in this same chapter. The same chapter which says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It wasn't an angel that sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It wasn't an angel that did that. Mm-mm. No, it wasn't that. They weren't to be heirs of salvation. No, it wasn't an angel that did that. The Bible says this, are not they all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? Well, who are heirs of salvation? Who are heirs of salvation? We are heirs of salvation. They're ministering spirits, y'all. Say amen or something. Listen. The angels are sent to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. We are the heirs of salvation. The angels are sent to minister to us. The angels are sent to look out for you and me. How many auto accidents have you missed? How many times have you missed getting hurt or something on the street? Running into a situation that was dangerous or something that you shouldn't have been in? How many times have you been distracted into a different direction? How many times has something been blocked and you say, that's supposed to be dead? Anybody ever said, man, I'm supposed to be dead? Anybody ever said that? I've said it. Man, I'm supposed to be dead. That guy was supposed to blow me away. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Listen, we don't get to see them and interact with them now, but I believe one day we will. Okay, now listen now. The Bible says that we should be careful to entertain angels, entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels and didn't know it. They said unawares, but I'm going to break it down. They didn't know it. And again, like I said before, that guy over there at Walmart, when you're coming out of Walmart, you got a sign say hungry, and you say get a job. Y'all know him? Yeah, once I realized this, I started keeping money in my glove box, because if I run, I see somebody, I'm going to give them something, because I don't want to be in heaven and they go, hey, what's up? And I go, hey, man, I know you. Yeah, and he got his sign there and said, yeah. I said, you. Yeah, I know. The Bible says that now. The Bible says that. I gave a lady something one day, and she looked so horrible and so sad, and I gave her something, and she smiled and said, God bless you. I'm like, yeah, all right. Thank you. God bless you. You know, that was worth it. It was worth all of it to be a part of that. And I believe that there's going to come a day that we're going to notice this day. We're going to say, whoa, I've seen you before. And he's like, yeah, I've seen you before, too. I know who you are. As a matter of fact, all of my comrades know who you are, too. Your Bobby the Giver. You know. Your Yvette the Lovely. Something, you know. We got a name for you. We know who you are. We've been talking about you for a long time. The way that you took care of us there on the earth. Hallelujah. Angels unaware. All of the angels, listen, all of the angels, even those of the highest order, are set in place to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. They're there. All who believe in Jesus. One of the greatest benefits that we have, besides the indwelling Holy Ghost, is we have angels that are set there to minister to us. They look out for you. They minister to you. They minister for you. They avert tragedy. They bring situations in place. Thank God for his angels. You know, much has been written about the subject. We can't say exactly how all of it worked. We've got some examples in scriptures that tell us some things about this and about angels and what they did and what this angel do. All I can know and tell you is this. Be careful to entertain strangers. If you don't do nothing but say, have a good day. How you doing? You know how you walk past people and don't say nothing? How you doing? Be pleasant. Have a good day. Nice day, isn't it? And you look to see if there's something that you can do to bless that individual. A lot of them, you can't bless them. You might want to get away from them. Amen. Amen. But there's some that you might be able to bless, to be a blessing to. God will open that up for you. But y'all, be open now. Yeah. And what this scripture and what this chapter is telling us more than anything at all, besides our benefit of having angels, is that Jesus Christ is preeminent over angels, and that angels are not to be worshipped. Now, there's a reason that we are told that angels are not to be worshipped, because if you ever see an angel, you're going to want to worship him. You're going to want to worship him because they are awesome. I saw something, I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was asleep or what, but and I still can't really put a tag on it, but it was different than anything I've ever seen. But I can tell you that they are not to be worshipped. They are ministers, and they are sent forth to minister to you. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm worthy of that. And ain't you so glad this thing ain't based on your feelings? Because they come and go. They wax and wane, just like the phases of the moon. But God changes not. Who he is and who he say he is. What he's done is done. And the benefits that he set in place are in place and there for us. All we need to do is just walk in them and receive them and accept them and bless God and perform in the areas that he's set for us to perform in. If we spend our times endeavoring to walk in the word, we won't have a lot of time to walk in sin. Okay, I'm going to give you a chance now. Let that soak in. See, if we keep on concentrating on stuff that make us mad, that tick us off, that we're upset about all the time, and we don't like, you spend our time doing all that, you sit up at home, and you just sit there and you ruminate on how you can change this thing and make it different, rather than meditating on God and meditating on his word. If we spend our time, and we've been empowered to benefit from these things, We won't have that much time to walk and entertain sin. Amen. That's an answer for you. The question wasn't asked, but that's an answer right there. So begin to do that and begin to accept what God has given you and who he's called you to be. And we're going to come back next week unless the Lord changes and we headed into Hebrews chapter 2. Now listen, Hebrews is not an easy book. I read it yesterday, and I'm saying, really, Lord, you want us to go through this? But we're going to do it. I'm going to obey him, and we're going to go through this book of Hebrews, and I tell you what, I saw some very powerful things there. Man, some things I'm still kind of getting to understand, but if the Lord so leads you, come back next week and we'll start up again. We'll be in part 2 of 13 parts of the book of Hebrews, and we'll get as far as we can. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to the book of Hebrews and for this wonderful truth that you gave us on angels and the benefits that you have in place for us. Now, let us not be afraid anymore. Lord, help us to learn to trust you and trust the situation and the circumstances that you have in place for us. Father, I pray that you bless all that are here today, all that came. Lord, I pray that you will be with them through the week. Lord, that you will cover them and cover them with your blood, and that you will strengthen them and help them, Lord, to make it through this week and to be blessed by the word that they receive. And Lord, may their lives never be the same again. And may they remember that we have unseen angels that are ministering for us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.